Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to another dual broadcast of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast and the Everything Church Related Podcast. Now, you know, if we're doing a dual broadcast, we have something special lined up for you today. Today, I want to introduce you to someone who has taken preaching about God's love to an entirely different level. I'm so fascinated by what we're going to talk about with my guest today that I just had to have him on the program to share with you. His ministry is called Faith and the Magic Kingdom. Now, does that sound like something you'd hear about at Disneyland or Disney World? Well, you're pretty close. Randy Crane has a ministry called Faith in the Magic Kingdom, and he is here to tell us all about it today. Glory to God. Now, Randy is a Magic Kingdom expert. He's a pastor, speaker, life coach. He's passionate about equipping Christians to reach beyond what they've previously experienced and to build a God-given identity and purpose. He's the founder of Leaving Conformity Coaching and Leaving Conformity Coaching Systems, and uses his gifting as well as his training as an ordained minister in church ministry to serve clients nationally. For more than 20 years, Randy has been leading individuals and teams into a greater joy and childlike appreciation of the world around them. He uses his gift of writing, speaking, and transforming lives through the Disney experience to equip you to do the following: crystallize your understanding of who God is, your kingdom identity to Him, and what success truly means for you. To connect with your God-given, not man-created, purpose and value. To develop a deeper, richer understanding of your strongest personality traits, as well as the incredible talents and passions you have within you. To become more balanced in seven key areas of life. To cultivate more peace of mind and focused energy. To use a simple and effective tool for making decisions to ensure your choices align with your unique kingdom identity, life mission, purpose, values, and goals, and to establish a confident approach to your future. Folks, welcome to the program, Randy Crane. Randy, thank you for joining us today.
It is my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Randy, other than what I just read for our listeners, tell us, really, who is Randy Crane?
You know, that's an excellent question, and it kind of depends in some ways on exactly who's asking and why. And in this case, I would have to say that a lot of what you read is pretty much who I am. The things that are not in there are that I'm a father of a little two-year-old girl and a husband to my wife of almost 17 years now. Amen. And have a lot of things that are just really being shaped and worked by God right now, that at the moment there's so much transition and so much kind of influx that 6 months from now, I have no idea what's coming. And it's one of the most exciting experiences that I've had.
Amen. Now, I've read in your bio that you had jobs ranging from a dishwasher to an accountant. Can you explain that?
A lot of it is taking the opportunities that were put in front of me. One of my very first jobs was as a dishwasher at an Italian restaurant because that fit with my schedule while I was going to school. Mm. And ultimately, I ended up as an accountant because I was working for an air conditioning company in the dispatch department. And then they asked me, would you be interested in learning accounts payable? I said, sure, why not? It sounds interesting. And literally the day after I started learning accounting from the accounts payable clerk that we had, she resigned. So I had to teach myself accounts payable real quick. And because I picked that up so nicely, they went ahead and threw accounts receivable at me too.
Just, hey, not only are you good at this, try this.
You know? Exactly.
And the accounts payable probably included payroll. Right?
It did.
A very important subject to the employees.
Right.
That's the point. We don't care about the receivables part, but we want to make sure the payables are all aligned, you know.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, I read that you had Dan Miller as your mentor. Is that right?
That is correct,
He's
yes.
He's a great guy. I've never met him, but I've heard a lot about him and read things about him. Talk about that.
Yeah, I actually had the pleasure, 3 or 4 years ago now, I've actually lost a little bit of track, but I had the pleasure of going out to the Sanctuary in Franklin, Tennessee for his Coaching with Excellence course. Wow. Got to spend a couple of days there at the Sanctuary learning from him and Joanne and the other coaches that were there, and just getting a lot of resources and tools and encouragement from each other. That possibly more than anything else was the value of that. Everything else could pretty much be done online, but the value of being in the room with people who were striving towards basically the same goal was really what the value there was. And the barbecue wasn't bad either.
Yeah, that's right. The barbecue always helps. Yeah.
That's right.
Let's shift gears a little bit and tell us about how you came up with the concept for your book, Faith in the Magic Kingdom.
Sure. That was actually something that I really can't take a whole lot of credit for. I mean, I can't take a whole lot of credit for a lot of this, but I try to do what God puts in front of me and then just see where it goes, you know, abandon the outcomes to Him and just try to be as obedient as I can.
Yeah.
And in this particular case, at that time of my life, my best friend and I were both in college, but we were going to different colleges. What we could do, though, was go to Disneyland at least once a week. Sometimes we went twice a week, but it was at least every week we were there for a couple of hours together. And at the same time, I was going to Bible college. I went to, when I started, it was Pacific Christian College, and then it became Hope International University, got my bachelor's and my master's degrees there.
Amen.
In the church ministry department. And so I was getting exposed to all of this scriptural truth and teachings and things through all the different Bible classes. At the same time, I was going to Disneyland on a pretty frequent basis. And honestly, you can only go to Disneyland, at least for me, so many times just to ride the rides.
Exactly.
It wears a little thin at that point. Even if you have a favorite ride, you only do it so many times just for the ride itself.
Right.
So I started just noticing details, started looking into stories of the areas, of the specific attractions, of the lands of Walt Disney, just whatever I could find that struck me as interesting, and kept peeling away the layers of the onion.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, at the same time, I'm being exposed to all of the scriptural truth. And so I started noticing connections and parallels and things where one would relate to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day, I was talking to a friend and mentioning this, and she thought it was an interesting idea too. So the next chance I had to preach at the church where I was attending, I thought, well, you know, this sounds like it could probably make a good sermon. So I'll just start with writing everything I can think of, just whatever connections I've already got. And then if I need to add a little bit, that's okay. If the sermon comes in a little short, that's okay. I ended up preaching for a little over 45 minutes.
Amen.
And I cut 75% of what I'd written.
Amen. Yeah.
And I thought maybe there's something to this. So then I got more serious about it.
Amen. Keep going. I'm sorry to cut you off. I could relate.
Right. So that's pretty much where it began. And then it was just an intentional, what had been just casual noticing became intentionally seeking out connections and ways to relate one to the other so that I could eventually create what turned into the book, Faith in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, amen. And we talked a little bit off air. This isn't just about, I use Star Wars as an example, you know, that, you know, Darth Vader is representing the devil and Luke Skywalker is the savior and, you know, the Force is the Holy Spirit. And all. You're not talking about like that. You're talking about the story behind the stories, right?
In many cases, yeah. And in fact, it really varies depending on exactly what specific attraction or land or area that I'm looking at. In some cases, it's straight out of the story as you experience it in the attraction, or like in the case of Fantasyland, as you might have seen it in the animated feature. In some cases, it comes from the source material for those things. So for Peter Pan, the connection I drew is not from the attraction, but it's from the Peter and Wendy story by J.M. Barrie. Sometimes it's the history of a certain element in a land, or right? Just kind of anything that, whatever it takes to get to the connection. So whether it's directly from it or something from the history of the park, you name it, there's probably an example of it in there somewhere.
Okay, well, give us an example. Okay, you talk about Peter Pan. Talk about that one.
Sure. So the story of Peter Pan is the story of the boy who never grows up. Mm-hmm. And that attraction is an opening day attraction at Disneyland, and it's pretty consistently one of the longer lines in the park. Mm-hmm. Even on a slow day, you're looking at probably a 40-minute wait. And on busier days, it's upwards of an hour, yeah, easily. And part of the reason for that is that it's a slow-loading, relatively low-capacity attraction. Mm. But so are most of the other Fantasyland dark rides. This one, I think, is different because people are drawn to this idea of not having to grow up, maintaining that childhood innocence, that sort of thing. And it can be nice in some ways to not grow up, but there's a risk in it. And I don't have the story in front of me, so sort of paraphrasing the story of Peter and Wendy. What happens in that story towards the end of the book is that Wendy and her brothers and the Lost Boys even have come back to London, mm-hmm, and Peter has been gone for a year. So he comes back to visit, as he promised that he would, and Wendy wants to know what's happening in Neverland. You know, mm-hmm, she wants to know what happens with the pirates. He has no idea what she's talking about. He asks what happened. Wendy wants to know, well, how is Tinkerbell? And he says, the fairy? Oh, there are so many of them. I suspect she's no more. Just completely carefree. He has no interest in it. He has no concept of the past.
Yeah.
Because when you don't grow up, you don't have a future. Wow. And if you don't have a future, you have no need of a past. So the risk of not growing up, even though it sounds like a great idea, the risk there is that you lose your connection to what's important that's come before.
Wow.
And that's true in our faith as well.
Yeah.
If we're not growing in our faith, we begin to lose the connection to that history, to the building blocks, to the foundations that have brought us to where we are, because we're not going anywhere. We lose the need for them, and so we lose them.
Well, I had never thought about Peter Pan being able to preach the gospel. It's amazing. You talked about some of the history of the park land. What do you mean? Give me an example of that.
Okay. Let me think for a moment here to come up with a really good one for you. Okay. So there is a spike just inside the forecourt to Sleeping Beauty Castle. Okay. Now, when you think the forecourt, people might think of that as the side when you approach it, but you're actually approaching it from outside. And so when you're in the forecourt, you've stepped into Fantasyland.
Okay.
And when you're there, there is what looks like a golden spike in the center of the ground right inside the forecourt there. And that, people have said for years and years and years, people have said that spike marks the geographic center of Disneyland on opening day.
Okay.
The problem is it's not. Mm-hmm. It's never marked it. In fact, there is a central hub in front of that where the partner statue stands now, the statue of Walt and Mickey holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
That is the central hub. That's the geographic center of the park on opening day, just actually a tiny bit north of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now that center has shifted as lands have been added and things like that, but it's still not there. That spot is just a survey marker. It's an important piece of the park because that provided the center line to make sure that the train station and the castle lined up, and it kept Main Street centered on that.
Okay.
So it's a really important tool, but it's not this incredibly mythically important thing that people have given value to. Finally, just I think in the last couple of years in their tours, Disney has started telling people this is not the geographic center, that's an urban legend. But that was even the official story for a long time.
Okay.
And that's a challenge for us too, because it's so easy to take something that's important, that's valuable, and give it this importance that far outweighs what it really should be. Give it far more importance than it really should have, and in fact, put it at the center of our lives, where all it's meant to be is a tool. And that could be a spiritual practice. It could be doing daily devotions, reading the Bible, going to church. It could be any of the things. It could be family.
Yeah.
It could be work. All of these things are things that are important. They're tools in our development. They're tools for the joy that God wants to give us. They're all these things. can be tools, but they're not the center. Mm. And we have a problem when we confuse what should be at the center for what we've put there.
Right, right. We need to drive our golden spike in the ground and measure everything from that, really. That has to be our you know, my military days, I'm from the cavalry background. And there's a saying, you know, you stick your sword in the ground and, you know, it's battle on from that point forward, you know. And it's kind of like the same thing, you know, this is where I stake my claim and now, you know, I'm not going to be moved from it. And that's important. Yeah, man, I have never thought of Disney World or Disneyland as being spiritually relevant. This is so cool. You know, my kids are going to love this. My grandkids are going to be even more enthusiastic over it. But you talk about looking at Disneyland and turning the park into a three-dimensional parable. Explain what you mean by that.
Sure. Well, whenever someone would ask Jesus about some spiritual truth, about some complicated question, his answer was pretty much always, let me tell you a story.
Yeah.
The kingdom of heaven is like. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't just answer their question. He would give them something that they could see, that they'd experience, that they could understand, mm-hmm. and then connect the spiritual truth to that, either explicitly or implicitly. Mm-hmm. And the way that I've written this book is to allow Disneyland to do that so that you can be in this experience, or you just can think about your favorite ride or show or attraction and have this thing that you're familiar with and then connect a spiritual truth to this thing that you're already familiar with, which in a lot of cases makes it easier to understand. It makes it easier to remember. It gives you a different way of looking at it so that is something that was maybe confusing before can become more clear.
Wow. I mean, This is all fascinating, man. This is great. What stories, what entries in your book have you received the most feedback on that seem to resonate the most with your readers and are most impactful?
There's a couple of them. One is actually a set that I've put together into a sermon more than once. And then there's one that's an individual attraction. The one that's the individual attraction is from the Disneyland Railroad. It's one thing that people are familiar with when it comes to steam locomotives. And a lot of times people who have been to Disneyland or Disney World don't really have experience with steam locomotives outside of that. Uh-huh. But when they get there, they get to see a real working steam locomotive in operation. These are not simulations. These are real working steam locomotives.
Cool. Yeah.
And I've gotten to ride in what they call the tender seat, which is the seat right behind the engineers a few times now.
Is that the guy that has to feed them firewood?
In a regular train that's wood burning, it probably would be.
Okay.
In this case, but the tender car is, in fact, where the tender is held, which in their case is water.
Right.
But in the case of some others, it might be wood or coal or whatever the case might be. Yeah, anything, you know, whatever they're going to use to get the fire burning.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it's water to generate the steam for the steam locomotive is what's in the tender car.
Okay.
And as I was sitting in there one time, one of the engineers, I think it was actually the fireman, asked me, now, we need to make sure when we have these, you know, the water level in the car here, we need to make sure that it stays at the right level.
Okay.
So let me ask you, which do you think is a bigger risk? And which do you think is less preferable? For it to be too full and have too much water? Not so much, actually, I take that back. Not in the car, but in the boiler,
right,
where it's actually
right.
generating the steam.
Right.
Which is worse, to have too much water in there or too little water in there?
I would say too little.
Too little?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
If you have too much water, there's just not enough heat
right.
to generate what's needed to create the steam, so it just won't go.
Yeah.
If there's too little at a certain point, then the water all flash evaporates and the boiler explodes.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
No, that's something you do not want to happen.
That is not a good thing.
That's right. And in both things I wrote about the Disneyland Railroad, I linked the boiler to our heart, to our spiritual life. And if you have too much, and it is possible to kind of gorge, if you will, on spiritual things, and you take in so much and you're not giving it out, and then you just kind of become lethargic and blasé.
Yeah.
But if you have too little, then your heart can, figuratively speaking and spiritually speaking, explode.
Yeah.
It can just die if you have too little. So you've got to keep enough in there. You've got to keep taking in the spiritual truth, the spiritual connections with family or with your church family and things, and talking to God to maintain that level in the boiler of your heart. So that's one. The other one I'll give you the thumbnail for, because like I said, I've done a sermon about it, so I can go for about, 35, 40 minutes. I won't do that here. We don't have that kind of time. But there are four mountains. It's called the Disneyland Mountain Range. There's Splash Mountain, Space Mountain, Thunder Mountain, and the Matterhorn.
Okay.
And as I wrote about them, each of those four represents a choice that we have to make. The Matterhorn, incidentally, was the first tubular steel coaster in the United States, or excuse me, in the world. They invented the tubular steel coaster for the Matterhorn. Prior to that, it was wood, or it was like this squared off steel. Right. You couldn't get the speed. You couldn't get even like inversions, those monster coasters and all that. Those wouldn't exist without the Matterhorn.
Yeah.
And it sits in a very unique place in Disneyland in that, depending on which park map you're looking at in which year, it could be in Tomorrowland or Fantasyland.
Hmm.
And it has two tracks. One is the Fantasyland side, one is the Tomorrowland side.
Really? I didn't know that.
And so the choice with this mountain is the choice of living in the future and looking toward the future, or living in this fantasy that we've created, this fantasy life that feels safer, it feels calmer, but it doesn't really get us anywhere.
Wow.
Living with this eye to the future, we must leave behind the world of fantasy.
Yes.
But it opens up to all these new possibilities. Thunder Mountain is the choice to fear or not. Big Thunder Mountain Railroad is the choice to be afraid or not. Splash Mountain is the choice of choosing joy, or what they call in the attraction your laughing place. But it's really choosing joy or choosing fear.
Wow.
And Space Mountain is choosing to trust God or choosing to just not experience it at all.
Now, do you think Walt had all that in mind when he was laying out this park?
I would say he had almost none of it in mind. These are things I even make introduction that, the Disney company, even Walt Disney himself, was not explicitly trying to teach spiritual truth.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Yeah, the correlation is just so awesome. I mean, for God to show you this, and then you put it down in book form, this is beyond anything I could even put words to. I mean, this is awesome.
Thank you.
Now, how are you handling the changes at the park, with the Star Wars new theme area coming in a couple of years?
That's going to be an interesting challenge. There's already been some things that existed at Disneyland when I wrote the book that don't exist there anymore.
Mm.
In fact, I think between the time I finished writing it and the time that it officially went to print, Billy Hill and the Hillbillies were no longer performing at Disneyland. And that's unfortunately one of my favorite things in the book, is talking about being unique but also having this shared identity.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to change that. And that's what I'm going to do. Is I was going to do it a little more frequently, but now with the 14-acre Star Wars land expansion coming, I think I'm just going to wait until after that comes out in 2019. And then I'm going to release a second edition of the book that removes the things that are no longer there. And once I've had a chance to experience Star Wars land enough, as obviously this is not something that on a first pass I can go in and grab all of these things from.
Right.
But once I've had a chance to experience it a few times, then I'll have things for the two attractions for that and probably some of the different things related to it. And Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader and a lot of the characters we know are really not going to be in Star Wars land.
Really?
Because they said at the Disney's D23 Expo last month, when they were telling us more about it, that if they set it on Tatooine or Coruscant or Endor or something like that, and put Luke and Han and Chewie and Vader and the Emperor and all this in it, you would be going and you would be living their stories.
Mm.
But they don't want Star Wars land to be their stories. They want it to be your story.
Ah.
So it's a new planet in a different place with some things that are familiar, but a lot that's new, so that you can go and live your Star Wars story.
Oh, man. Now I got to go see Disneyland. this, this, I could talk to you for 2-3 hours about this. This is so cool. How do you see people using this book?
The way that I'm most excited that people use it is, actually, there's two different ways. One is that they use it as a devotional book, which when I wrote it, I wasn't necessarily thinking along those lines, but that's actually now why the website for the book is DisneylandDevotional.com, because one of the guys who provided a kind of blurb ahead of time for the book referred to it as what amounts to a Disneyland devotional. And I realized that's exactly what it is. And so people are using it as a personal devotional book, for a Bible study. I know some people who are using it as a family devotional book because it does not ruin the Disney magic at all. Mm-hmm. But it gives you enough that you can sit down with your 6 or 7 year old all the way up through an adult and be able to get something that has a common experience and takes you to that deeper truth from it. The other way that people use it, and this was what I had in mind, was that they would take it to the park with them, which it's kind of a big book to carry, but if you have it on your Kindle or something like that,
right.
Then it works just as well. And each land, first of all, it starts out at the front of the park. And then from there, you essentially walk up Main Street, and you can follow entry to entry as you walk up Main Street. And then as you pick a land, every land is written so that each entry starts you at the entrance to the land and finishes either back at the entrance to the land or at the end of attractions once you've experienced everything there. So you don't double back. It actually functions as a spiritual walking tour. Wow. Of Disneyland.
That's cool. Hello, everyone. Pastor Bob here. Isn't this an intriguing interview with Randy Crane? I mean, who'd have thought that going to Disneyland or going to Disney World would involve having the Word of God laid out before your very eyes as you go through the Magic Kingdom? I mean, I'm looking forward to my next trip down to Disney World. I said I wasn't going to go, but praise God, I think next year I'm taking the family back there, and this time I'm going to have Randy's book underneath my arm. We're going to have a spiritual trip through the Magic Kingdom. Praise God. Folks, we only got through part one. There's more. Come back tomorrow for part two. Till then, be blessed in all that you do.